It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about the great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Okay, time now for another edition of SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources in the great state of South Carolina, a very, very important agency that does wonderful work making sure that everybody behaves in the great outdoors, but also assisting in a variety of ways and just making sure things are done safely and soundly on the lakes, in the woods, in the ocean, and other parts of South Carolina. Let's welcome in the man himself, Major Billy Downer. Good evening, Major. How are you?
Always a great day to be on the radio with you, Phil. Beautiful day today. Just got back from the coast, spending some time there. Just the weather there has just been tremendous. Not really too hot, been kind of cool. So really good. A lot of folks on our coast line to South Carolina are enjoying a lot of beautiful weather. However, we are experiencing a drought here in the Midlands when it comes to farming and agriculture, which you know my son's involved in that heavily. It's tough right now. And there's some crops that right now are quite honestly on the verge of make or break with some rain. So corn is hurting. This dry land corn and crops right now are hurting because we just have not had the rain. It's probably the driest spring that I can remember on record. The flip side of that is it's good for raising birds like turkeys. It'll be a good hatch year for turkeys that it's dry. So we'll see if that helps our turkey population that we've seen hit in the last few years. But again, very dry.
Let me maybe share some good news. I don't know what the forecast is. I'm in Atlanta. I don't know what the forecast is back in South Carolina, but it poured here in Atlanta where it rained, and it's overcast and looking rainy here right now. So we had some thunderstorms move through Atlanta this afternoon, and many times that'll move into South Carolina eventually, so maybe it's heading your way.
I hope so. That's what we say. We keep saying they'll say the rain's coming, then it'll change, and it'll push another 5 days out. It's been a desperate times for farmers around here, but hopefully looking for some rain. But tonight I want to welcome in Jay Butfalowski with our alligator program. He is going to give us some information about some changes to the alligator season. And, Phil, I know that this is one of those topics that is probably one of your all-time over the 9-10 years we've been doing this. Between that and sharks, it's your favorite subject. So
it is.
Get ready to ask your tough questions tonight from the experts. And that would not be me, but Jay's here. Jay, thanks for being on the show tonight.
Thank you.
Get ready. Phil's going to have a good one for you, I'm sure, before the night's
one.
Over with.
I got one. You know it.
But let me tell you this, Phil. Let me tell you my story. So I went down to the coast this weekend, left, drove down on Sunday afternoon to Hilton Head Island, beautiful Hilton Head Island. And I get off of the 95 and go down this little road, back road, two-lane road, the causeway there, and make my right on the main where it turns to four lanes. And there's a gas station, two of them on the right, about, you know, a couple hundred yards apart. And I'm driving along, you know, just, you know, I hate to sound like a Tommy Boy story, but I'm driving along. I look to the right, and there, to my not really surprise, but kind of shock, is about an 8 to 9 foot gator just taking a stroll down the pavement in the middle of a gas station. Minding his own business, but just walking at a very steady pace, not worried, just walking along, wagging along the road there, the pavement in the gas station. I'm thinking to myself, if somebody's at the gas pump right now, what would they be thinking? Phil, what would you do if you were gassing your car up and you looked up and there's a gator walking your way?
Well, I would guarantee you that the gas would overflow unless it shut off, because I'm getting the heck out of Dodge if I see something like that. Anything low to the ground, an alligator, a snake, yes, sir. I don't hang around to see the end result. So let me say this real quick with Jay on the line and both of you. So the other day, this is true now, the other day I saw a video. It was one of those, and it was real. It wasn't AI or anything like that. May have seen it on Facebook or something. And
so
it was
you
a
say.
Woman. Yeah. I mean, it looked real. I had to be real. It was a woman in Florida who is an outdoor person, lives in Florida, and she has like a pet alligator in the lake behind her house, and she would actually kiss the gator on the nose. She would lean
this
over.
This is the girl in the white dress kissing the gator on the cheek, or on the chin, right?
Yeah.
I've seen this picture. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What in the world?
Yeah. Billy, that's actually, I think, some of her graduation photos.
Yes.
Yes.
I think so.
Exactly.
Yes.
Graduation photos. Yes. Jay, you want to take that one?
Well, I think she either grew up, worked in, or grew up around an alligator farm. So she's been around those all her life. I don't know a whole lot about it. I just do recall seeing those pictures. Interestingly enough, quite a number of years ago, I can recall us confiscating an alligator 6 or 7 foot long in someone's house that would sleep in the bed with them.
Oh, God.
And that was in South Carolina.
So, Phil, let me just say this. This is my answer to that.
Yeah.
She may have very well done it, and there is photo evidence to prove the same. Okay? However, I'm not doing it. And remember what I've said before. As if I told you, Phil, how big's the brain of an alligator?
You said it's the size of a walnut.
That's correct. You remembered it. Mm-hmm. A walnut.
I pay attention. Yes, sir.
Is that enough brain power for you?
No, sir.
What did I tell you it likes to do? It likes
eat
to eat and breed.
Yes.
Breed.
Yes.
Let's just call it breed for right now.
Breeding. Breeding's a good word.
Are those two things that you want that 10, 12-foot gator to do with that young lady? No, it's not. Neither one of them. Neither one of those are a good option. So, no, not doing it. Just not going to do it. Of trusting that animal with that, yes. Can they be trained to some degree? Yes. But they have a very small brain, and I don't want to give them the chance to not think right. That could end very badly. That could end very badly. But anyway, in all seriousness, Jay, you wanted to talk about the alligator, our draw program, the public draw hunt is coming up. It's going to start the draw, the ability to sign up. Applications open up on June 1st. And before we do that real quick, I just want to make a quick entrance into that, and I'll give it to you. But, as Phil, we've talked about over the years, the alligator population in South Carolina had grown to a point where we were seeing alligators in places. We were having to move them a lot. They were constantly becoming nuisance. So the nuisance alligator problem was growing and growing in our state. And in an answer to that, opened up the what used to be called the private lands program, and you had to have thousands of acres bait for plantations to control problem alligators there. And then finally we reached a point where we opened up a public draw system, and that allows folks to go on public water across the state and remove alligators. And it used to be over 8 feet to get the larger alligators. And now we've changed that a little bit, and Jay will talk about that a little bit too. But these are all efforts by our department to help reduce the number of nuisance alligators in the state. It's one thing we can do without completely having open season on alligators again, which the last time that happened, it decimated the population. And they do have a purpose. The folks may think they don't, but they do have a purpose in our ecosystem. And so, Jay, let's talk about the public draw opening up June 1st.
Yes. We've had our alligator draw hunt program since 2008. And when that year opened up, it was kind of in response as well to, Georgia had opened up theirs a few years before that. But yeah, it's grown into our by far most popular, lottery drawing. Last year we had 12,243 people apply from 49 different states, as well as one from Puerto Rico.
12,000?
Yes. So it's extremely popular, you know, because it's like, you know, we like to kind of equate it to our bighorn sheep. You know, you have to apply where they occur. And, you know, alligators don't occur everywhere in the U.S. And so, you know, we're one of the few southeastern states, well, one of the southeastern states that have a pretty decent lottery drawing. And so it attracts a lot of people. And you know, like you said, it's accomplished a few things. One of those is certainly has drastically reduced the number of nuisance alligators on public waters. We're always going to have nuisance alligator calls about ones in their backyard and in these developed communities in Hilton Head because, you know, you don't have access to hunt those in those locations. That's probably the last thing they want, a bunch of people riding around in boats on some of those properties. But in the public waters, like the big lakes, the rivers, the number of complaints from those areas has dropped to almost a trickle. And certainly that is definitely helped. And now, you know, and I've done alligator surveys every summer since that time. You know, it used to be you could get pretty close to them. Now you hit a spotlight to them and they go under. So they've gotten very shy about being around people, and that's a good thing. But it is one of our most popular lotteries, and we do have a few changes coming up for this year. Primarily being that, like a lot of other states, and our licensed vendor asked us, why don't y'all do this? You know, before, if you were awarded a tag, you had to go back online and pay $100 for the tag, and we'd pack it up and ship it to you. So what we're doing now is if you are awarded the tag, you will have to have a stored payment method in the Go Outdoors platform where we apply for all the hunts as well as where you get, you know, renew your license and all that. And so upon the lottery drawing, if you are successful, it'll automatically charge you. And that accomplishes a few things. It issues all the tags. You know, we've never sold every tag that we've allocated. You know, we'd sell anywhere from 80 to 85, 90%. This will allocate every tag, as well as from an administrative standpoint, it reduces the time that we have to worry about checking to see who's bought a tag, pack it up, mail it to where we can compress that in a few days and get all the tags out in a timely manner. And we don't have to worry about somebody showing up 3 days before the season end. They want to buy their tag and they show up at the Charleston office. Well, all the tags are in the Columbia office. So, you know, a lot of that's going to be very well streamlined. Everybody who's picked is going to get their tag and going to get it well before the season starts.
So cool. So again, going back through our draw system for a minute, June 1st through July 15th, and the point system we've talked about before, but if you don't get drawn this year, you get a point that's added to your point tally for alligators. And every year you don't get drawn, or you still get another point, and those points gradually gather just like on the duck draw system. And you get a number of points and you're going to be at the top of the list basically, as far as those that will get drawn the next year. Jay, is there any region that is for getting drawn than another? We have four regions in the state?
Or yeah, there's four regions. There's four. And okay. And so there's the Southern Coastal, which is, of course, the southern part of the state, and the Middle Coastal, which includes Lake Moultrie as well as kind of towards the Charleston area, the Midlands, which includes Lake Marion and the surrounding counties, and then the PD, which encompasses the PD region. And the most popular regions are the two lakes, the Middle Coastal and the Midlands. You know, it always takes a few more points, or it takes more points on average to get drawn for those. You know, something we started last year and we will continue this year is we also have a slot tag available for those that are willing to settle on a smaller alligator. And that does restrict you. It's like a slot limit, for fish. In that if you get a slot tag, you can only take an alligator between 4 and 8 feet. Anything larger, you have to let go. And, you know, that actually takes one less preference point to get drawn for that, you know, so long as you know you're going to, you know, be restricted to that smaller alligator. And right. Truth be told, the average alligator is about 8.5 feet that's taken during the hunting season anyway.
Okay. All right. So, and again, we don't keep records of the largest alligator take in Dewey. I know folks are usually are confused why we don't keep records, but we don't keep records right. of well, the largest alligator like a big game system.
Right. Well, you know, we have, you know, looking through the public hunt, you know, I believe our largest alligator is 13 feet, 10 inches. And there's been
okay.
a couple of those taken. You know, the issue becomes is we've had some alligator agents over the years that claim they've taken a 14-foot alligator. We can't confirm or deny that, as well as some of the ones maybe taken under the private lands programs or taken back in the 40s or 50s. We don't know. So all right. we can really say is that's the biggest one for the public hunt.
I got you. But it's not – but we don't – like, it's not a system like – with deer where it's a record necessarily. It's not a record keeping as far as a big game, a trophy type record system. It's just a system where we keep what's been taken so we know how many alligators been taken and what the length was, correct?
Exactly, because, you know, we're not having them on certified scales. We don't have official scores and length measures. You know, this is all based on self-reporting.
Correct. So I want to make sure I explain that, because folks sometimes want to know, why don't y'all keep records? Well, we do keep records, but it's not like a record book where you yeah. have, like you said, certified scales and those things. Because the scales aren't certified, you don't know if the poundage is right. I mean, you get these big gators, and they're in the 800 pounds plus. And
yes.
it can be a matter of 50 pounds, 20 pounds off if the scale's wrong. And that matters if you're doing records like that, but we're not as far as – in that nature of things. So you said middle region and the middle coast and the Midlands are the two most popular. And you may have already said this, so I want you to repeat it again. How long is it taking for someone who starts drawing this year to get drawn if they're waiting for the 8 foot and above?
For the regular tag, it's going to take 4 preference points.
So that's 5 years. Last,
yeah, correct, and that's still not a guarantee.
Sure not.
Because
sure.
you know, you can do the non-draw. You know, that's an option in our system. Like, you know, you're not going to be able to hunt this year, or do what a lot of hunt parties did. And this is a party hunt, which is different than our other lottery hunts, and meaning that
correct.
You can take others with you.
I was fixing to mention this, so go ahead, explain that.
And so my college roommate, him and his brothers and their sons, they all kind of collude together and they spread out their preference points. And so when somebody gets in that kind of slot to mm-hmm. be drawn, they put them in, all the others choose non-draw. So they'll get a tag amongst them pretty much every year within their party. They're not all being drawn, but because this is a party type hunt, as long as they have a hunting license, they're able to participate and help out. And this is the kind of hunt you probably want some help.
Oh yeah. So how many people can be in a party, Jay? Is there a limit?
There's we don't have a set limit. You know, obviously it comes down to boat size, you know, and
right.
you got to be real careful about having, you know, additional boats, because, you know, the permitted boat and the permitted hunters on one boat, when you start having other people essentially hunting alligators,
it becomes a question
without
who's hunting,
a permitted,
which one's hunting.
Yeah, without a permitted hunter on board, it gets a little tricky with that. And that comes down to you guys and y'all's discretion. You know,
that's over all the time. If you yeah. start making it officer discretion, now you're placing the total yeah. decision on that officer. And he has to decide if you are truly helping or are you hunting on your own.
Right.
And I would have to
yeah.
say that,
I mean,
one boat per party would be the rule that we follow, because other than that, yeah. it's going to get very confusing. But the biggest thing to take out of that, what Jay's saying, is if there's 3-4 buddies, you know, 5 even, if you get a big enough boat, that want to put in for an alligator tag, you can all do that over a couple of years, and every couple of years you're always getting drawn, and that makes it more fun because everybody can be involved. The tag holder has to have the tag, and everybody else helping in the boat has to have a hunting license, and that's it. And you're allowed right. to do that, which makes it fun. And again, as he said, helps you spread that kind of hunt out for years amongst the party. Everybody gets to tag the different year of the next year, so that does help.
Yeah.
But wow, thinking 5 years, it's gotten to where waterfowl's been
yeah.
for years, at 4 to 5 year mark. Very interesting. That's where we are.
But unlike
alligators.
Yeah, but unlike waterfowl, you know, you still have the potential to hunt every year, even though you may not be the tag holder.
Absolutely. Well, Phil, you said you got a question. Just got a text. You question online? Go ahead and ask us.
Question online. It doesn't really have to do directly with alligators, but it does
sure
fall under your bailiwick. This is from the 843. Do you need a fishing license for private ponds? Do you need a fishing license to go into a private pond and drop a line?
You do not need a fishing license on a privately owned pond. So make sure, again, that that's a privately owned pond. There are plenty of people that have private property on a pond that may be part of a public waterway. Make sure it's a private pond. But a private farm pond, absolutely not. Where owners own all the way around it, not a navigable stream, but a private pond, you do not have to have a fishing license to fish in a private pond. And there are no limits in private ponds except those imposed by the owner of the pond themselves.
Hmm.
So, and Jay's laughing in the background. Jay, go ahead.
Well, as a follow-up to that, since we do have all these regulations related to gators, if you're at a private pond that has gators in it.
Nope. No.
Okay. Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. I knew that was coming. No, you cannot just shoot a gator because you see one. There's still a process. Jay, let's go ahead and hit that real quick. We got about 2-3 minutes. What is our nuisance alligator protocol? Let's go through that. If someone sees an alligator on private property and they feel like it's a threat to their animal's life, they can call our radio room at 1-800-922-5431. 1-800-922-5431. And they will take your name and number, and depending on the emergency or the urgency of the call, they will get someone, one of our alligator agents, in touch with you. Our alligator coordinators, Jay, how many do you have in the state?
Yes. There's like five alligator coordinators spread throughout the state, and what it will do is actually route your complaint or your concerns to the appropriate alligator coordinator for your county, provided it's not an emergency. If it's a true emergency, you know, an alligator on the middle of a public highway or something like that, we'll actually dispatch an agent to go get it. But if it's just
or an alligator walking through a gas station in Hilton Head,
Or on 278 in Hilton Head, which seems to happen every now and then. Yes. And so what will happen is either that day or their next business day, because it's not an emergency, one of our alligator coordinators will call and discuss the situation with you. A lot of times they'll talk you off the ledge because in a lot of cases it's a small alligator, and honestly a small alligator is not a threat. If it gets to the point where, okay, well, maybe that one needs to be removed, you know, we can issue a permit and tag for that one alligator, but it would be up to the property owner to remove it or have it removed.
Correct. Now, so that is a different also when you're removing a private lands tag, which is like a depredation permit. You can't just go out there guns blazing. You've got to get you've got to take that gator by specific methods in those private areas. With safety and regard for safety for everyone else around you. Let me say this, folks, for also those that are in gator country, see gators often, and I want to say this. We do know that, you know, the gator size way back when I started 28 years ago, game warden, you know, 8-foot gator, if it was under 8-foot, we said, you know, look, that's not a problem. Well, that's not the case anymore. 6- and 7-footers have been problems for us now. It just depends on the situation, what's going on, where the gator is, what the situation as far as the immediate danger of the gator in contacting humans. Is it got any habits habitually sitting around a dock, those kind of things that are going to keep, they're going to put it on the top of the list, so to speak, to move it out. But anyway, Jay, thanks for being a part of the show tonight. That's going to wrap us up.
Yes,
Gator
sir.
Talk.
Okay, thank you, Major Downer, and thank you, Jay. Fantastic stuff as always. Really appreciate it. Great edition of SE Wild from DNR here on Sports Talk. Major will be back in a couple of weeks with another great show. We've enjoyed being with you tonight. Have a great night. Thank you, Plummer. Thank you, Bergie. We'll see you tomorrow.